Welcome to
Ray and Tay Today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Tay Today.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile.
Ray,
and they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA, MLB, college football.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. Hope you had a great sports weekend. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. Thanks for joining us. Give us a call if you want to jump in and talk some great sports, 718-664-9098. Like always, shoot us your emails at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Check out the website, rayandtaytoday.com, Facebook, Twitter. Tweet at us, and, you know, we're ready to talk sports, and we're available. So, Ray, I got to talk to you, man, because you set it off for the show. You were challenged, I believe, by your brother-in-law for the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. I wasn't challenged, even though I know you were going to challenge me. I wasn't really officially challenged, but I was challenged by Peter and his story, and it's just amazing, and for all the people who suffer with this disease. So I challenge people to do the Ice Bucket Challenge and to donate the money. They've raised over $15 million in the last 3 weeks. It's sort of amazing, and everybody's doing it. So I think it's a great cause, and I passed it on to friends of the show. Randall Cunningham, Eagles quarterback, former Eagles quarterback and friends of the show, Pastor Randall Cunningham, and George Reister, another friend of the show, Oregon Duck and former Jaguar. So let's see and hope they do it, and I'll, you know, tweet it out later. Just coming from being freezing cold. So now it's a great feeling, though. It's a great cause and a great feeling. So
it really is. And, you know, we know it as Lou Gehrig's disease.
Yeah.
Obviously, because he's the most famous person, especially in the sports world, to get it. But it's a crippling disease, and it can happen at any point, at any age, to healthy people. And it's great to increase awareness. It's even better to donate. But it's great to increase awareness. So let's start with awareness, and let's hope that translates into dollars raised for research for ALS, and let's find a cure for this.
Definitely. So before we get to the major meaty stuff of the weekend, I mean, we've got the NFL, the MLB, and we're going to talk about some quarterbacks of college football. Hey, Jeff Gordon in NASCAR, Ray, I mean, you know, they got three races left before the Sprint Cup Challenge. And not only did Jeff Gordon win, but it's sort of like these great names that are really battling, right? You got Jeff Gordon, Jimmy Johnson, Dale Earnhardt Jr. This is going to be so great for the sport. Of course, Kevin Harvick, but Jeff Gordon is looking like back to 1997. What do you think about his victory and his chances to potentially win it all?
That's my man. He won his third. You know, we had that racing series on our website. We chose our favorite guy. So you got Jimmy Johnson. I got Jeff Gordon.
He won in Michigan again. He's in Michigan's his place. You're in Michigan.
Dale Earnhardt Jr. is having flashbacks to 2004-2005.
Right.
Jeff Gordon is having flashbacks. I mean, Jimmy Johnson is the man has been the man for the last 6 or 7 years. So before that, it was
those
Gordon.
Two guys. Yeah.
And
yeah,
Jeff
definitely.
Gordon really was dominant. I mean, even more than Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Oh,
but
yeah, definitely.
It's good to see that he's back, and maybe the last half of the sprint challenge is going to be pretty exciting. So, you know, anytime my man Jeff Gordon wins, I get excited. And you know what's good, though? Did you see that the one guy, I forgot who it was, but he crashed and his car was on fire. And he got out, though, and, you know, he followed the new rules protocol. I mean, if your car is on fire, he's getting out. Forget about the rules. But at least there'll be more awareness now with that tragedy involving Tony Stewart.
Definitely. You know, real quick, and we'll talk about the NFL injuries when we get to that segment, but Nadal will not be in the U.S. Open. He got his wrist hurt. So that's going to be kind of rough. You know, and then what's going on in the Little League World Series, man? How about Pennsylvania sort of beating Texas and, you know, Chicago, Illinois went down after that great game. But Monet Davis, the young lady, just pitching stud. I see South Dakota beat the Czech Republic today, and then Mexico beat Australia.
Can I just tell you something, though? So I listened to this girl, Monet Davis, and whether it's a girl or a guy, it doesn't matter. She's 12 years old. And so Carl Ravitch interviewed her, and he asked her, he said, well, you know, what's been different the last 3 weeks? And she said, social media.
That's
now,
right.
Ray and Taylor and I are 40, but, you know, we love our Twitter fans, and we try to communicate with our fans through all the media, whether it be, you know, radio, whether it be YouTube,
right. We're just not on
Twitter,
Instagram. I guess next step,
Facebook.
We got to get on Instagram. We're kind of old.
We got to get on Instagram.
That's where all the young kids are at, right?
But check this out. So she says, social media. Before this started, I only had 2,000 followers on Twitter. And now I have 15,000. And I'm thinking
wow.
to myself, wow, a 12-year-old has 15,000 followers on
three times
Twitter.
Our amount. That's great. That's amazing. You know, it's wild. And you know, you like to hear good stories and you know, stories like Peter Frady's and The Challenge and, you know, things that warm your heart. I got to say this. This is a positive thing out of a very sad, negative thing going on in our country. The Rams are giving tickets to a lot of the young kids in Ferguson, Missouri, where the young 18-year-old kid was, you know, shot and killed by a police officer. And, you know, I guess the Rams are figuring, hey, we can try to turn something into a positive with all the negativity. And it's just such a sad situation. And I just hope we can move forward and there's some justice served and we can, people over there can be healed and just, our hearts and prayers go out to Michael Brown and the family. It's, it just breaks my heart to hear these stories, right? I can't take it anymore. So
yeah,
let me ask you this. Well, go ahead.
Like you said, it's tough. I hope that, the community doesn't get torn apart because it sounds like it's the actions of, you know, a few individuals. You just hope that it doesn't bring the whole St. Louis down, you know? So the Rams stepping up and giving some tickets and maybe people can go, you know, be intermingling with one another in the, you know, in the stadium, watch a Rams game. You know, and like we say, sports heal, so maybe sports is a way to build some bridges between some people and calm things down because, you know, you don't need riots in the street. If there's something to be talked about and if there's some issues with biases and prejudices, well, then get in a room and talk about it, right? You don't need violence and you don't need the town to be torn apart because of this.
Yeah, and look, they came out with the AP ratings. We'll talk about that. I think maybe we'll do our preview on the 29th. We'll talk about college football towards the end of the show. They got Florida State as number one. But I want to tell you, as we get into the NFL now, we got some serious injuries. And it looks like your boy, Jamaal Charles, hurts his foot in a move from the dorm, Ray. I mean, I know he didn't play the other night in the Chiefs-Panthers game, but he hurt his foot in the move from the dorm from training camp. What? I can't even believe it, but Sam Baker is out for the season, so Jake Matthews will start at left tackle instead of right tackle. Good thing the Falcons drafted him, and I'm sure we'll see it Tuesday night on Hard Knocks, which has been sort of fascinating. And Sammy Watkins, my Steelers, we knocked out Sammy Watkins. They said the ribs, hopefully he'll be okay. I don't know. I mean, these injuries, they seem every year, teams just got to get through 4 or 5 preseason games alive and well, you know, and healthy.
Well, and this is a big game coming up this weekend.
Week 3. This is the dress rehearsal.
Week 3, that's the one where your starters are going to play at least a half, 3 quarters. So there's going to be a lot of GMs, a lot of coaches, a lot of staff just holding their breath, like get those 5-6 series and then get out of there. So we'll see. I mean, we enjoy it. But on the other hand, if they don't play at all, then week 1, they'll be out of shape and there'll be other kind of injuries. So it's a tough balance.
So let me ask you this. I got a question about 3 quarterbacks that I think have something in common. It's Sam Bradford, Cam Newton, and who was the other one I was thinking about? Oh, man. So, and Alex Smith. What do you think I'm going to ask you? What do these 3 quarterbacks have in common? Rams, Chiefs, and Panthers.
They're
freaking teams and GMs don't get them some real wide receivers so they can play winning quarterback football. I mean, Ray, I'm baffled. I mean, you know, to go in the season with Kelvin Benjamin, Avant, and Kotchery, then the Rams, yeah, you signed Kenny Britt, who's never, you know, been injured all the time in Tennessee. You still got, you know, Bailey's out for four games with the PEDs, and you got Tavon Austin, but still no real number one, Brian Quick, all these guys, Chris Givens. And then the Chiefs, Alex Smith, Dwayne Bowe, he misses a game, but he's supposed to be a number one. But besides Donnie Avery and you get DeAnthony Thomas, where are they getting the wide receiver help for these guys? I'm sort of baffled. Remember, we talked about this with the Bears. Well, finally, the Bears, what did they do? They stepped up. Not only do they have Martellus Bennett, but they got, you know, Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, and now they just signed Santonio Holmes. So Cutler has receivers. I mean, what do you want to give for Christmas to Alex Smith, Bradford, and Cam Newton?
Well, especially Sam Bradford, because, you know, Cam Newton, I don't think he's a top five quarterback, even a top 10 quarterback. I think he's good. I think he's very solid. I wouldn't mind Cam Newton as my franchise quarterback. So that's fine.
You're doing more with less. He's going to be a hero this year.
Yes. No, he'll be a hero, especially given that Benjamin looks like he's his best receiver and he's really just a rookie. So he'll have some growing pains. But so you know Cam's good. You also know Alex Smith can play. He had a rough start to his career in San Francisco, but these past couple of years in Kansas City have been great. So you know he can play. You want to give him some more talent, but at least you got him Jamaal Charles. And you know he's a solid veteran, you know, a very good quarterback, not a great quarterback, not an excellent quarterback. The one that bothers me the most is Sam Bradford. You drafted him number one overall. You gave him that. He was the last of the Mohicans who got that $50 million contract, and he's never had a number one receiver. So you don't even know if he's worthy, right? You given him Zach Stacy, and Steven Jackson in the beginning of his career. So, you know, solid running game. But this guy has never had the benefit of having a number one receiver. And then you go out, and again, he might turn out to be a player, but you go out and draft a kid who's 5'8". And Tavon Austin, and you basically say at the number eight pick, and you basically say you're the number one receiver. You know, you don't even get him. I'm baffled is not even the word. The number one overall pick. Didn't you learn anything with Peyton Manning? Peyton Manning. Now you could argue they may have won more if they had a defense, but Peyton Manning always had a solid offensive line and always had tools because they said he's our best player. And we need to give our best player weapon. So Sam Bradford has never had anybody decent, but anybody above average at wide receiver during his tenure. So the jury is still out on him. He gets injured a little bit, but I would argue he's had nobody to throw to for his whole career. So is he or is he not the guy? You got to make the decision this year.
You're right, It's kind of hard, right, to really evaluate him. And, you know, hopefully it's going to be the Rams' defense and running game. But like you said, bad location, right? Location, location, location. He's in the wrong real estate because they might not, you know, they could wind up being a great season for them. Could be 7-9 just because of the fact that in the NFC Conference and the NFC West, they can't leapfrog anybody in their division. The Cardinals look amazing. Niners got whooped in the opening of Levi Stadium. We got to talk about that with the Wi-Fi and everything. 34-0. Right. But the Niners are not looking sharp. Yeah, I'm sure they will, but you got to be a little concerned. Same thing with the Giants. But that the Niners and then the defending champs, the Seahawks. So, I mean, you can't really expect the Rams to just dominate those three teams. I don't know. I think it's an interesting story, and there are a lot of storylines going into an NFL season. But to me, I think those guys are not getting weapons. And then, look, before we get into tonight with RG3 and Manziel on ESPN, that's going to be fascinating. Hoyer starts. We'll see. You know, Pettit said they're going to go back and forth with the ones, so they're going to be subbing in and out, so they'll both play with the ones. You know, I don't like that. I don't think you like that either. It's kind of weird.
No.
But What do you think about Blake Bortles? I think the Jaguars, and we talked about it the other show on Saturday, but I think they're going to have to reevaluate because Blake Bortles looks like he may be young, but he's ready. He looks like he's Keith Sweat. Yo, he's ready, right?
I tell you what, there's a reason he was drafted number three overall. There's a reason everybody liked him coming out of college. I still am not against him sitting and holding a clipboard, but if
How
they
long,
don't
though?
Want it, four games, eight games.
Okay.
Some games.
Would you sit him the whole season, though? I don't know if it's necessary if he's playing that good.
Right. We talked about that on Saturday. I don't think you need to sit him for the sake of sitting him. I mean, you sit him until he's ready. You know, don't
right.
go in saying it's going to be a year. If the kid learns quickly and he picks it up in practice and he picks it up against, you know, the second team squad, play him in week one. Play him in week four. Play him in week eight. Play him when he's ready. Because
yeah.
Chad Henne is not the answer. So if you know Chad Henne's not the answer, then it's just a matter of time before you got to play your boy Bortles to find out if he is, in fact, the answer. So I would say 4 to 8 games to me sounds reasonable.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got to say this, looking at the other rookie quarterback, David Carr went out with a little injury, but it looks like he'll be okay, played decently. But Minnesota at the end of the game beats Arizona, good preseason game. But I got to say, Castles played great. But you know what? Teddy Bridgewater looked amazing. Teddy B, 2 touchdowns. They won 30-28. Questionable call on the final pass or whatever, and they scored and beat the Cardinals, who look really good in preseason. But I got to say, watching Bridgewater and really looking closely at it, he looks like he's going to be a player. I might not start him the first, you know, I might bring him in after the bye, let Castle start the season, but I think Bridgewater is going to be fine, and the Vikings will be quite happy that they drafted him.
I hope so. He seems like a good kid. I don't know that he's ready, but again, if he is, put him in there because Adrian Peterson's right at the peak of his career. And
yeah,
like we
it's
got to
happen
Jennings
sooner than later.
Towards the end of his career, yeah, we need to get him on the field.
Big Ben's ready. My Steelers won 19-16 over the Bills. You know who's ready? Ryan Shazier. Oh, he looks nice. Linebacker from Ohio State. I'm hyped up, baby. My Steelers. Your Jets won. So is Geno ready, Ray? 25-17. Is Geno ready?
TBD. I can't tell you until I see him in the regular season and see how he deals with those turnovers and see how he deals with the pressure of Michael Vick breathing down his neck. I don't know.
Yeah.
I usually have an opinion. I won't hold back, but I just don't know,
right.
Geno. I haven't seen enough snaps.
That's fair. I'll tell you who looks ready, the Seattle Seahawks and also the Packers with Aaron Rodgers. Packers took care of the Rams 21-7, you know, no big deal with preseason or whatever, but Packers, the first-team offense, Eddie Lacy looks like a monster, and the Cobb, now they look great. No tight end, so they might miss that, but they look ready. And the Seahawks put it on the Chargers, 41-14, and Russell Wilson and the boys, the running back, they look ready, Ray. Watch out for the Seahawks. Might get a little repeat. So listen, before I got to ask you this. Before we get to baseball, we got to talk about these playoff races. Real quick, Team USA, they did a great thing today with the Army and, you know, doing a shoot-around with the Army men's team and women's team. They won the other night in Chicago. Derrick Rose and Anthony Davis, are they going to be our leaders to the gold medal? Those guys look good. I think Anthony Davis is ready to turn the corner. I did not like that starting lineup, though. What did you think about them beating Brazil, barely?
Yeah. This U.S. team is hard to judge because they're so young. They're a little bit inexperienced in international play. They've never really played with each other. So this is one where the coaching staff is going to have to earn their money. Derrick Rose looks to be the natural choice for the leader of this crew, but he's not your typical he's not Jason Kidd. He's more talented than Jason Kidd, but he's not the personality that Jason Kidd is. Anthony Davis, another candidate, but when was the last time he had a center who was a leader of you know, a bunch of guys?
Looks really good, though.
I know. He's great. I love him. I love his game. And I just love the fact that, you know, kind of like Hakeem Olajuwon, how he's a big man, but he's got small man's agility, right? So Hakeem played soccer. This guy Anthony Davis, you know, what did he grow 6 or 7 inches between his junior and senior year in high school? So he retained the skills of a guard, and he's playing, you know, power forward or center. So I like it. Look, you can't not like the U.S. team just because the top 10 players on the team are more talented than any other 10 players. However,
your boy started for Reed.
Well,
temporary. Yeah. Might not. You know, we'll see if they makes the team. But that's the storyline right there, man. That's crazy.
He's a banger. He's a banger, you know. I like Kenneth Faried.
But oh, yeah.
This team, you know, they got to have a matchup problem inside, and they have to deal with the experience of Spain. I mean, to me, it really comes down to Spain, I think, is the only team that
right, it's one game.
The
yeah.
U.S.
They can handle
right.
Argentina and Brazil.
So,
and
I think so. I think with the coaching, with the talent that we have, with the depth, that we could do it. But then again, you know what happened in Atlanta, you know, with the Olympics and the return of the second dream team, you know, coming back to rectify that. And then in Athens and Greece, U.S. is lost in international basketball. We forget because we think, oh, we've got the best players, but you know,
yeah.
it's not going to be easy.
No. So real quick, before we get to the baseball, just got to mention Sean Marion signs with the Cleveland Cavaliers and probably Ray Allen's not soon, you know, not too far behind them to sign. Cavs are going to be good, Ray. They're going to be good.
Yeah, you got to think that they're the odds-on favorite to win the East and potentially win it all. I mean, maybe a year too soon, but if they get Allen and Marion in time for preseason, that's got to boost them. You know, that's got to make them the favorites in the East.
So let's jump right into baseball, man. I got to ask you, especially with the American League playoffs, how about those Mariners and how about the Los Angeles Angels, ladies and gentlemen? They have pulled into a tie, basically, for first place, 72-50, and the A's are 73-51. It's amazing, and then the Mariners are right there at 67-56, you know, holding on to the second wild card. What are you thinking, man? How's this AL West going to play out?
It's funny because if you talked to me a month ago, I would have said Oakland, but I tell you what, this Angels team, they can't pitch as well as Oakland, and they may not have together the same, you know, experience that Oakland had. I mean, Oakland's been doing this for the past 2-3 years, and
right.
The Angels were terrible last year, but I think the Angels are going to run away with this now. I think Oakland.
Well, they play a series Friday night, starting Friday, Saturday,
yep.
Sunday, I believe.
And I think that they're going to have to beat up on Oakland, but I think the Angels are going to take it. I think Oakland's going to run away with that first wild card.
Right.
And then it comes down. To that second wild card.
Well, could you see Detroit not even making the playoffs now? I mean, if it ended today, they're out. That's scary.
You know what? I don't even know what. No, if it ends today, no. If it ends today, with the two wild cards, Oakland would be one and Detroit would be the second.
Oh, I thought Seattle was up on them. Yeah, Seattle's up.
Oh no, you.
Seattle's 545
right.
And Detroit's 541. Yeah,
you're right. Seattle's
wins,
up a half game.
Yeah,
they both have 56 losses.
Because
and,
Seattle just beat
Seattle
them this weekend, 2 out of 3. So
that's
that
right.
Was huge.
2 out of 3, that's and huge. That swing game, right? It went. Detroit was up a half game. Now Seattle's up a half game.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Detroit is possibly the most talented, you know, pitching staff in the game, plus the league MVP, and essentially the best offensive tool in the game, the offensive player in the game. They may not make the playoffs. Wow. And you know what? That's not a Dave Dombrowski issue because the GM put the talent on the field. So I don't know what's happening over there in Detroit.
Yeah, it's sort of amazing. And thank goodness our Yankees are still alive. It's going to be a tough road. But, you know, they're half a game up on Toronto. So they've, you know, played pretty good this weekend. So at least they give us some thrills, right? As Yankee fans, we still have something to cheer for Derek Jeter and this stretch run. I think it'll be a tall task. And then obviously in the National League, we've talked about it, you know, on Saturday, Washington is – you know, pulled away over the weekend, though. I think in the Central, what's interesting is, you know, basically it looks as if St. Louis has pulled a little bit up, 2.5 up on the Pirates, and then Milwaukee's up by 3 on St. Louis. So that might work itself out. And the Giants have been playing some good ball. You know, the Giants are still around as battling for one of those wild cards with 65 wins, 58 losses.
Yeah, I think that NL is going to be, like you said, I think Washington's running away with the East. Looks like Milwaukee might take care of business in the Central. But don't be surprised if St. Louis comes around. And then the Dodgers probably hold off the Giants. I'm still rooting for Pittsburgh, man. I want Pittsburgh to get in there. But right now, it would be like San Francisco.
San Francisco, St. Louis.
Atlanta, if they can get it together, you know, Atlanta's tied with Pittsburgh. What is that, a game and a half behind the Giants. So I still think the month of September is going to be great for the wild card.
Oh, every day.
That second wild card makes every game important. That's really exciting.
Every single day is going to be just boom, 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 battling, bats to the wall. I mean, you know, it'll be interesting, even for some of these postseason awards, to really solidify, see what happens. So, you know, let's take a quick break and let's finish strong with some of the top college football quarterbacks for the 2014-15 college football season coming up soon. Ray and Tay.
We're back. Usually we talk skin on Sunday. Now we're going to shift to pigskin on Saturday. So let's jump right into it. In the few minutes we have left, we're going to have a formal preview for the college football season later this week or early next week. But right now, let's jump into quarterbacks. Let's talk about the top quarterbacks to look at this season in college football.
I would say this. I think in my eyes, there's three or four that stand out. And I would say, obviously, the Heisman winner and Jameis Winston from Florida State, number one team in the country, just all the accolades. So I think you got to really watch him. I also think you got to watch Marcus Mariota coming back healthy. Remember, George had, you know, gave us the exclusive that he was hurt going into that Stanford game. Well, Mariota will be healthy going into the season. I think he's going to be a stud. And then I think at Ohio State, Braxton Miller. You know, you're going to have to see if for them to win a championship, he's going to have to do more with his arm. But what he does with his legs plus the arm is amazing. And those would be like my main three. But there's a lot of other guys after that. Who would you, if you had to say, who would be that next guy? I guess you'd have to throw in there Brett Hundley from UCLA. So he's right there too.
I think Brett Hundley.
Is there anybody else that joins that crew? Do you like Cook from Michigan State? Or do you think Hundley
is the best
of them all?
I like Brett Hundley maybe even to go ahead of all of these guys in the draft, just being kind of a prototypical
pure
passer. Bryce Petty at Baylor. Watch out for him.
Oh, he's great.
Because that Baylor offense is open. So if you think about Heisman Trophy, so Bryce Petty is going to put up enormous numbers. And, of course, Marcus Mariota is going to put up enormous numbers at Oregon. So I like Petty, though. I like him. I like what he can do. He completed 62% of his passes last year, threw for 4,200 yards and 32 touchdowns. I mean, and he didn't play the fourth quarter of many games. You know, and I think he only had three interceptions. So the guy is tremendously accurate, and he's going to put up big, big numbers. And, you know, in the Big 12, they don't play any D. So he's going to throw up tremendous stats. So
since you're talking Big 12, though, don't sleep on, and everybody in Norman right now, our Oklahoma fans are screaming, how about Trevor Knight from Oklahoma, who put it on Bama? I think he's ready to turn the corner and maybe have a dominant, sophomore season. Looked great in the bowl game. And then you also, you know, a lot of other people will say, well, you know, don't forget about the kid from Hogan from Stanford. And then who's the other kid I'm thinking about that a lot of people love?
Christian Hackenberg from Penn State. I would say if you want a big, strong quarterback, you know, he worked with Bill O'Brien down at Penn State, got that professional tutelage as a freshman. He's ready as a sophomore to have potentially to have an Andrew Luck type of season three, four years ago at Stanford. So keep Christian Hackenberg in mind. And also your boy, Taylor Kelly, the local kid.
I was
going to
say, Listen, Taylor Kelly. You know, I think he's got a lot of moxie. He's got
first
a good
anybody
arm.
Named Taylor, that's got to be, you know, any lefties on my squad. But anybody named Taylor's got to be in your squad.
Well, I think, you know, quiet as kept. Shh, don't tell nobody. The Pac-12, they're going to be so deep this year. You know, we know about Oregon and Stanford, you know, just their programs and what they do. But I think Arizona State, UCLA, USC, their young quarterback is going to be okay too. I think the whole conference, Oregon State, you know, the quarterback there who was throwing to this guy Cook at the Saints now. So I think the conference itself is pretty deep. So and also the guy, that's what I was thinking about, Connor Cook at Michigan State. I think he's ready to turn the corner, and that defensive franchise that you got over there in that organization in Michigan State, well, Connor Cook in the running game, they're making it, you know, a little bit more balanced, and Michigan State might give Ohio State and Braxton Miller quite a little battle. You know, they're going to play in November 8th. So we'll see Michigan State and Ohio State and how that battle goes down between the good, you know, those two quarterbacks.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know, as we wrap up this this episode, I got to tell you that we'll talk more about it in coming, you know, in the coming weeks. But did you see that the SEC, who didn't win the national championship last year but won the 7 years before that, they have 8 teams in the top 25.
Yeah,
so
of course.
Auburn, Alabama, and South Carolina are in the top 10. So only three in the top 10, quote unquote, only three in the top 10. And then they have 5 more teams in the next 15. So that conference is just unbelievable. And now that they have their network with the SEC and ESPN,
tuned in,
they're just going to continue to dominate.
No, you're right. And look, they're going to be it's going to be amazing. You know, I think about when you talk about the Heisman and looking at these quarterbacks. You know, you can't count out. Speaking of the SEC, you can't count out Nick Marshall. I think Nick Marshall is ready to, you know, turn the corner for Auburn and show that, you know, he's the real deal. It's going to be a fun season. I'm excited. We'll talk about, you know, our top 5 teams and, you know, who we think will win the Heisman, look at some of, you know, predict some of the major conferences, conference winners. But this is going to be one of those seasons where the Heisman could be wide open. And even when you look at the championship, I mean, some people like South Carolina, some people like Bama, Oklahoma, you know, Florida State to repeat, or at least have a shot to be in that playoff because they don't, you know, they play Clemson at home and their toughest game is week one against Oklahoma State probably. So, you know, there's so much that's going to go down with this season. So I can't wait for college football, man. It gets me hyped up, you know. Saturdays,
can't
you can't
wait.
Miss Saturdays, you know. You always got to watch your Sundays, but nowadays, man, Saturdays are electric.
Can't wait. Like your man Bart Scott said.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, we got to shout out. Bart Scott will be in the CBS studios, but our man, I saw him premiere last night, Randy Moss is working with Fox. What'd you think about that? He's going to be on FS1, but he was on Fox last night. I was like, go ahead, Randy. Randy got a good job there.
Go ahead, Randy. I mean, look, he's a smart player. He's insightful. He probably has some good things to say. So I'm looking forward to it. New blood is always good.
I think, you know, if you had to, I guess, you know, we talk about Mount Rushmores. If you had to do a Mount Rushmore of receivers, and you did obviously Jerry Rice, I think Megatron might get on there, Randy Moss, who would be that fourth one? Would you give it to like a Chris Carter, a Michael Irvin? Who would be that fourth guy if you were thinking of a Mount Rushmore wide receivers?
Freddie Biletnikoff, Steve Largent. I don't know.
Lance Allworth. That's a good question. That's a good question to think of. We're going to talk about that.
That's a very good question. You got to think Jerry Rice is by far number one. And, you know, Randy Moss probably, if he didn't have that black hole in Oakland in the middle of his career and then that walking out in, in Minnesota, he could have been number one overall. But you got to think he's a top four receiver. And then after that, everything's up for grabs. You know, Megatron, we're assuming that he has 5 to 7 more years like he's had this
year. I definitely am. He's a problem. He's amazing.
As long as he stays healthy. I just think that this era of wide receivers, their stats are going to be so much better than the stats looking forward. But are they really that much better?
Especially going from like 2013 forward, it's clearly even maybe 2012, it's a different league. I think Megatron was, you know, he's going to be dominant in any era. You know? But
yeah,
just think
sure.
about it. Who would be that fourth, man? You got Michael Irvin, Chris Carter, Terrell Owens. You know, yeah, our boy Marvin Harrison. It's an interesting debate. Interesting debate, if nothing else.
No, that's excellent.
So
maybe
we'll
some new
out
kid.
There.
Maybe some new kid. Maybe there's like a new, like a Sammy Watkins will come on the scene,
well,
or maybe a Julio.
I gotta tell you, Ray,
Julio
this is the last chance.
That's Ryan.
EJ Manuel. I don't think EJ Manuel is the guy in Buffalo. I don't know if he can get it done.
Wow, you're cutting him after such a short
We'll see what he does this year.
I agree that he shouldn't have even been a mid-first round pick. I mean, he wasn't even projected. It's a little bit like Christian Ponder. I mean, he's probably better than Christian Ponder, but it's that run on quarterbacks where this guy, you know, has these expectations of being a number one pick, but he's not. Nobody projected him to go first
Everybody
round.
Everybody last year
should
have been second rounder. Yeah, like Geno. Yeah, he should have been a second rounder like Geno. So, we'll see. But, you know, look, great show. There's a lot going on. Everybody, you know, watch the baseball as it runs down, Little League World Series. It'll be fun to watch a little bit of Cleveland Redskins tonight. You know, Browns Redskins should be kind of fun. We'll be back Friday. And, you know, I think there's only one college football game this weekend, so maybe we could even do our preview next week. You know?
We'll bring it to you, though. Don't worry. Don't worry. Rancey will bring you to college.
Yeah.
College
football. All right. Great show, man. Rancey, out.
See you Friday.